Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Scott, and I will be your hearing officer for today. The Prescott Administrative Hearing for December 4th, 2024 will now be called to order. We do want the defendants to know that these proceedings are being recorded and are on the record. As we go through the hearing proceedings, the defendant will come up to the enclosed table and chair when your case is called. All defendants will have an affirmation of truth, as will each officer. The code enforcement officer will read the case number and describe the violation or violations as may be, as well as the pertinent facts regarding the case. Then the defendant will have an opportunity to speak. The administrative hearing officer, being me, will make the decision based upon the evidence presented. The defendant will sign, date, and be given a copy of the judgment with instructions of what to do next. If you are ordered to appear at a later hearing date, that information will also be included on the judgment. You have the right to an appeal of the judgment to the Prescott City Court within 20 days from the date of this decision and a filing fee as determined by the City Court. The Prescott City Court's review will be an evaluation of the record of this proceeding, including exhibits or evidence as presented on the record today. We will now go forward with the affirmation. All those that will be testifying today, will you please stand and raise your right hand? That means defendants too. So. All right. Do you affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right, thank you. Sorry, I keep forgetting about this microphone thing. Our first case, number CE 2307057, address being 908 Audrey Lane, and defendant being listed as Ronald A. Manuel. For the record, it appears the defendant is not present. Is that correct? All right. All right, Mr. Worley or Mr. West, will you please proceed with the details of this case?
Thank you. Will West, City of Prescott Community Development Operations Manager. This case has two components, and the first being the fence constructed in the public right-of-way. Second component being the fence constructed on his property is outside the zoning ordinance. This case began in late or mid 2023. At that time, we identified the violations and spent a considerable amount of time working with Mr. Minot to try to resolve his two issues. At one point, he did apply for a variance of the zoning ordinance. That process stalled, and when that process stalled out, we decided to move this forward to the hearing officer, and that's where we are today.
Okay, and this is a part of it is in regards to a fence that is beyond the scope of required height. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Mr. Worley, do you have anything to add on this?
Only that the fence height issue is a front yard fence height issue that is common throughout every residential property in Prescott. Maximum fence height's 4 feet. The fence in this case is 6 feet. So.
So the city has tried to work with Mr. Minot on the fence in the right-of-way issue. That has never been allowed. Mr. Minot has contended in his emails, which you were provided or have been provided in your correspondence, that the fence is there to protect something, pedestrians. But we allowed the fence, as the Public Works Department allowed the fence to remain in the right-of-way while he worked through the variance process. So we would only have to work on his fence once. At no point has the city allowed the fence in the right-of-way, which is the larger of the two issues. And that is, that portion of the fence is not eligible for any variance under current city code.
So meaning that this, one, the excessive height, and two, is that it should be back closer to the property line or the front of the structure, the home or building?
Correct. His fence currently extends into the public right-of-way approximately 12 feet. That portion of the fence is not permitted and not allowed under city code.
So, and I'm reviewing this correspondence, specifically this letter that is not dated.
That is a letter from Mr. Minot to me.
Okay, and when was this letter received?
That was as an attachment to a previous email. So the email response from Mr. Minot on November 18th would be when this letter was received.
All right, bear with me. I'm reviewing this. Email. And they've made no effort to either correct the issue or apply for a proper permit for anything, is that correct?
They did apply for a variance for the fence height. A corrections letter was sent out for that variance because the required information was not provided to the city. That corrections letter, go back, I believe, is dated in February of 2024. Since that time, he has not attempted to provide the additional documentation that was required to move the variance forward.
Okay, recommendations from the city?
So we recommend a $500 fine for the fence on his property that it's not in compliance with the zoning ordinance, and an additional $500 fine currently for the fence in the right-of-way. And we request that this be continued until the next hearing date, January 15th.
January 15th, thank you.
And the additionally, the penalty to failure to appear.
Yep, that would have been my default judgment. All right, so our next available hearing date will be January 15th. What is a good compliance further inspection date that would be good for you to be able to assess whether or not they are in full compliance by? Minimum would be a week before the next hearing date.
I think that January 8th is a reasonable date for compliance.
I can do that. So I will put the compliance, I will put the compliance date for January 8th, 2025. I'll do it at 10 a.m. Otherwise, to be present for the January 15th hearing. I am going along with the city recommendation for the default and additional fines for a total amount of $1,250. I will not make it waivable. If there's anything further before I finalize writing this?
Nope, I think that that's reasonable.
All right, thank you.
He's running copies.
And for those who are new here, because we have a slight printer issue, this will drag a little bit just because we have to run back and forth to make copies. So patience is appreciated. Okay, our next case, number CE2401-019, address being 732 Dameron Drive, and property owner being Caesar Islas and Aspen. And for the record, I see defendants are not present. Tander, for Wendy, will you please proceed with details of this case?
So all the violations were abated? Yes, they were.
So we're going to dismiss it?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a copy of the judgment for me to write that? This one's a good news. I like hearing that. Actually, while I have him making those copies, I'm going to move forward.
Yeah, I think we're up plenty of time.
Okay, so moving forward to the next case, number CE2405-006, address being 2702 Willow Creek Road, and property owner being listed as Tally Properties, LLC. Could you please identify yourself for the record?
Jason Tally.
Thank you. All right. Officer Hill, or Mr. Worley, will you please proceed with details of this case?
All the violations were also abated.
And you showed up anyway.
That wasn't
I remember this one now.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
No, everything's, no, it's good. If I remember it, it's good.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about that.
You're right.
So you got everything into compliance with us. And according to my previous judgment, I'm going to give you a half waivable fine for what I issued before.
I need to ask you something. How am I being fined for a leased space? Because I own it. I have a lease. I don't have a lease on it. Yavapai Landscaping has a lease on it. The gentleman that has been calling me, I keep telling him, I said, I don't have any control over that property. It's under lease. And I keep asking him to do something with the property, but the fine should go to the person who's actually the lessee, right? Not the lessor?
Well, you being the property owner, in fact, the property owner is actually responsible for any and all activity on the said lot or property. Now, under a lease agreement, if your lessee has a violation of it or something like this happens, you as the
lessor,
landlord, have the ability to to basically break the lease, because it's a breach of contract technically if they are not doing what they are responsible for.
But to my knowledge, I didn't receive a copy of an infraction with their name on it. So why is the infraction coming to me?
Because you own the property. If your name is listed on the property as the property owner. And this is a very common thing that happens actually in landlord-tenant law, the landlord is responsible for his or her property or for a property that is listed under their LLC or business name, and anybody who is leasing, even though they may be slightly in control of what's going on, it is still up to the owner to fix it or to have their tenant repair or stop doing whatever the violation is. And if they don't, then it is the landlord's responsibility for the actions and activities.
So the other question is this is the first time I've been brought, any documentation has ever been brought to my attention. So you're saying this is the second time you've reviewed this. What was the first time you reviewed this, and why am I being charged? If the infraction was... If we're now in compliance, I'm trying to figure out why the charge.
Tander, can you provide copies of our case history real quick?
Yes.
And allow Mr.
Absolutely. My apologies, I did not make copies because the case was going to be abated.
Right. Well, when we have a defendant show up, we have to. And I believe that there was some form of correspondence in the case packet between Mr. Talley and our community development at some point.
Yes. So a courtesy letter was sent May 15, 2024. The extension was granted after communication on August 14th, 2024. I apologize, it was out of order. There was also a final notice sent 6/20 of 2024. A phone call occurred on July 26th with the owner. He did report that the property was leased. We did let him know that he was still responsible for the property.
Actually, you said that George would have to look into that, and I never got a call back.
Okay. It was observed. Oh, and a reinspection was done October 4th, seeing that it was still in violation. I think that was the history of the documents, all of that.
Can I ask what this is? Because this is a residential, this code is a residential code, and we're actually grandfathered commercial retail and storage. So there's people storing stuff on the property, which would fall into a different code, wouldn't it? So I'm trying to figure out what the infraction was, and maybe you guys can enlighten me, because that's the biggest struggle I've been having with you guys, because you guys keep telling me then we call and you say, store whatever you want there. And then we have people storing stuff. And then you say, move the stuff. And I'm like, you know, which is it? Do we get to store or do we have to move?
The answer is yes.
Yes, there you go.
to clarify it, there are certain parking parameters for vehicles, trailers, storage materials, setbacks, we call them. It's the setback that was the issue in this case. The vehicles, the storage of the vehicles permitted on the site, but not where you had it stored. So by moving them, you brought yourself into compliance.
So the last conversation that we, I don't know this gentleman's name, but were you the one that called me?
Tim?
Tander. So when Tander called me, I said, okay, well, let me call these guys and get them to move it. They moved it to the level of the sign, which was the setback, which we have a permit for the sign when we originally got our permit in 08. So we moved it to that level. And so apparently we weren't in compliance still.
Yeah, there are two different types of setbacks. Signs have a shorter setback, allowing you to be closer to the street in order to allow you to advertise
did
for
not
your
know
property.
That.
Yeah,
did
that,
not know
that was
that.
The difference between the two setback issues.
So we didn't, we were never made aware that there was two separate setback lines. Originally in our conversation, or when we got our permit, right, for the sign monument, mm-hmm. the setback for that, I thought was the 20 feet from the lot line, and that's what it was. And so this is news to me. I don't know anything about this. So
if I may,
where is the other setback?
So in our notices, we typically would have told you how far back you needed to
move it. I never got any notices. So I'm a contractor, right? So I don't go to my yard, but once a month to collect checks. And so I didn't get a notice, at least I didn't.
Yeah, we made several attempts to send you information.
Well, I answered your calls every time, right? So it wasn't like I was avoiding you.
Yep, we understand.
So, if I may, Mr. Talley.
Yes.
So as Mr. Worley states, that when you are provided any form of notice on what setbacks are or when the initial violation goes through and you are receiving information on the violations, you would have received copies, and it does show in here, in the record packet, and in the correspondence, that you would have been provided copies of the codes, which specifically state, here is this one, here is this one. If you have 20 violations, you're going to have a breakdown of every code and a reference to every code. With that, there is kind of falls not just on community development side to provide you that information, but it does kind of fall into your responsibility. If you don't understand something, you can look it up very easily, just as I can, just as anybody actually here in chambers right now. If you're provided with a code, the community development, planning and zoning and everything, they'll provide you not only the violation of the code, it also has the explanation of the code. And sometimes there are two codes or three codes even, that kind of mirror each other, but they're cited differently. So like a City of Prescott code would be listed as a PCC, Prescott City Code. And then there's planning and zoning has theirs with a Z. And I think under development with like wastewater and waste management and things with that, theirs is a separate code. But they will all actually mirror each other to one point or another. So you're provided with the codes. If you call in and have a question or anything or email or whatever, you're going to get a copy of that. Kind of falls on you to...
We looked it up, and I have the code.
Okay.
Right here. But we don't fall under that jurisdiction because it's not something parked near a house. This is a commercial piece of property. So this code is for residential, the one that I'm being quoted here, right? So the one I'm supposed to be in violation of is not pertaining to
actually the codes fall in against both commercial and residential. Under
let's just
signs and setbacks.
Let's just
commercial
that
sign
setback thing that's completely new to me. I thought we were in compliance because we were behind the sign. The conversation that I had with him was we needed to be behind the sign. And so I don't know where that line would be because there's no markers on the street where the actual lot line starts. So I went to the sign from our original conversation. The sign was our setback, and we could do whatever we wanted on that setback. So that was, and we chose not to go further with anything from that point back. But when the people asked to lease the land, and they were supposed to use it for construction use, not just store a trailer there. But they found that apparently the visibility was so, you know, the attraction was so good, you know, because of the visibility. So I tried to be in compliance with what I understood the setback. But I wouldn't have known that prior to today because the original conversation was back in 2008. And that's when we were issued a permit for the sign, and we were told that anything behind that sign is acceptable. Am I wrong?
I don't recall that conversation from 2008.
Oh,
typically,
sorry.
Sign setbacks are much less than other building setbacks okay. on any property, so I can't imagine we would have told you something different back then.
Okay, but we weren't looking for a building.
You were looking for placement of the sign, and we gave you a setback for that sign.
Okay.
And again, that would have been
the
way the code was worded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If I may add, and they will correct me if I'm incorrect on this. So when you have a placement of a sign, whether it's commercial, residential, or whatever, and you have a placement, and you've been permitted, you would probably want to use that sign as, or consider that sign almost as a structure because you are permitted with it. So a setback from that, considering it as a structure, and this is a good way going forward for anybody to really think about it, is that when you have something, a structure permitted, any setbacks beyond that, because this sign is a commercial, consider it like a building. So a setback beyond that can be up to, I believe, 25 feet. So that, if I'm correct, the sign had its one, then the second part is the further setback where this these vehicle RV storage would be. It would be the same as a residential. A residential has to be at least 25 or more feet behind that. It cannot be out too close to the street or too close to right-of-ways. So it's something that, and...
But we're back to the same thing. It's not a building. We're not building. It was parking. Parking, I was told that, and again, this is a conversation I have with him, that... anything behind the sign, we were okay because the sign was the setback for parking. We're not talking about building structures. We're talking about parking. Parking can be done on your lot line. You know? So we can, you know.
Actually, parking can be done through a lot line. However, there is still a setback on your lot line, which again would be 25 feet behind it.
For building. I'm a builder. So, I mean, we work within these parameters of setbacks all day long. So I'm just trying to figure out, I can do a lot of things on a lot line or within the setback line, you know, like septic systems and stuff like that. You can, you know, there's variances of that. There's nothing telling me that I can put a driveway on my lot line. But then you're saying that no parking could happen on the 20-foot setback.
If I may, within the setback, the limitations on parking are different than limitations on storage. The vehicle in question, the trailer in question, didn't move until we required it to be moved. It was stored there, not parked there. Parking is something that happens for a temporary time period.
Sure, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That was the difference in the way we see it. It's the difference in the way we treat setback areas for parking versus setback areas for a principal use on the site, which is a building or storage or, in the case of your situation, material storage as well.
Sure. So.
Does that clarify a little bit better?
It does, but I still don't understand why I'm being charged. We never had any hearing. So you're saying that this is the second time, but we've never had a hearing on this. So I don't understand why I'm being charged for something where we've never even had this. And I can't understand why I'm being fined anyway, because it's not my property. It's under lease. But that's a completely different. A commercial lease is not the same as a residential lease. They have complete rights of that property. I don't have. I have to actually have written permission to go on their property.
Actually, and even if it was residential, you would have to have a proper notice to your tenant.
There's nothing in our leases that indicate that we can breach that lease. We don't. Who can foresee? So, there's no. We're not talking about bodily harm or something legal like a legal situation, like a felony being committed.
And can I clarify something really quick? So multiple letters were sent of the hearing, the first one on November 27th, 2024. And in that conversation where I did reach out with him, he did specify that there was a lease, and I still told him that he was responsible, and both of the trailers had to be within the 25-foot setback. The one trailer was moved behind the sign, which is still not in the 25-foot setback, which a letter was issued. The other trailer had not moved. After the other trailer was moved past that sign, it was then moved back to the edge of the curb.
And Mr. Talley, I'm kind of go on top of that real quick with the information, because this is not something that just happened like in the last month or overnight or something. It has been slightly perpetual, because after a violation notice was provided, whether it was to your lessees or to yourself, we would have a temporary compliance in accordance to the records I have seen. We had a hearing I gotta see my date, November 6th. And there was communication with regards to this prior to that November 6th hearing. The reason you have a judgment against you on that is because it's a default judgment. You were not here. Your defendants were, your lessees were not here. So going forward with evidence presented, and again, and that is the first thing I state in my introduction to this hearing, is that my decision is based upon the evidence presented. Any exhibits, any witnesses, any witness testimony, everything that is presented to me as the hearing officer, I base my decision upon that evidence. If I don't have somebody who wants to show up as a defendant and provide a rebuttal testimony or rebuttal exhibits or anything else, or discuss this at that time, you've got a default judgment.
Sure.
I could totally do it, and I made it waivable for a reason.
You have a copy of the original one in November that I was sent? Do you have a copy of this from November that I was sent?
Copy.
Obviously, I'm here now.
So I know. The judgment or the... Judgment.
You said you had... This is the second one. Is that from November?
Yes, sir, and it's got my handwriting on it, and that would be the copy that you would have received that says... half waivable if you are in full compliance.
Okay. Oh, this is this one. But you said I didn't show up in November when you said we had another hearing. So then that would mean two of these went out, right?
This is your second hearing right now. Because I gave you another opportunity to abate the issue, to come into compliance by another date. And if you were in compliance prior to this court date today, then the opportunity would be to have half the fines that I assessed waivable. So, and you basically received, because again, neither yourself nor your lessees were present. It's a default judgment.
Well, what, no offense, but what disadvantage or advantage do they have of showing up if I'm the one that's fitting the bill? Did they get any letters? Did Yavapai Landscaping get any letters? Well, then were they notified of their noncompliance? Because it was their trailer that was in the right-of-way.
And again, being you, the owner of the property, you're responsible for any actions and activities on there. Let me just give you a random example maybe that hopefully will kind of clear this. If you have your sign there saying that you are going to lease the property or anything like that, and somebody goes and tags it with graffiti, you're going to be responsible for cleaning it. No, I'm just giving a random example.
Now,
you're
what,
still
what
responsible
a better example
for it.
Is if I leased a car from a leasing company and I got a ticket, who's responsible for paying that ticket? The one who leased the vehicle or the one who leased it?
That goes under your contracts.
So,
but being the property owner,
but if I didn't pay the ticket, would it go back to the lessor? No, it wouldn't. It would go on my record. So that's my point.
Okay.
They weren't notified, and so therefore they weren't notified. I get a fine. So it doesn't. It's not right. So you can say
you have the opportunity to appeal if you choose to.
Sure.
Okay. At this moment, your case is dismissed as you are in full compliance. And because, again, under a default judgment, I can waive half of it, or I can just leave it. Because the decision is based upon the evidence presented. If I did not have a defendant present at the last hearing, however, I still provided an opportunity for you to come into compliance in order to waive some of this fine, I'm not sure what you're expecting. If you're in full compliance and I'm offering and I'm here to make a judgment to waive half of the fine that was already assessed under a default because you weren't you did not show. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, because I never received it. That's still my only point. I didn't receive it because I'm in compliance. That's my whole life. I'm a contractor. I live in compliance with everything. So I never received anything, but you guys said you sent it. So I guess I'll just have to go and find out who lost it. So anyways, all right. Thank you.
Okay.
We're done?
Let me quickly fill this out that waived fine thing, and we'll take it from there. Tander, will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Bring this over to him for a signature before I get a copy made. Give him a pen.
But we don't have anything like that in our contracts. Our contracts are very basic, you know. We're not dealing with a freaking multi-billion-dollar corporation where we have to have, you know, 250 pages for a lease. We're two-page leases, you know. They're just, you know, deal-breaker stuff, you know. So you just, but most people don't even know about this kind of stuff, you know. So, and I asked him 100 times, dude, move your trailer. The city's hounding me. Move your trailer. I got crickets. So, but now I get to pay it and take it out of what? His little bit of money that we get as a, you know, security deposit. So. Sure, I bet. Yeah, it's just. I just wish that somebody would have made an effort to reach out to the guy that actually is in violation. His name and name and phone number is all over it. You know what I mean? So, anyways, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, moving forward, next case, number CE-2404-009, address being 550 Wetsting, I can never pronounce that, Wetson Avenue, and property owner being listed as Robert Tooley. And for the record, Mr. Tooley's not present. So, Tander, will you please proceed with the details of this case?
Yes. So the case was initially opened 5-6 of 2024. Final notice was sent 6-26 of 2024, and citation was issued 8-26 of 2024. I do know that Wendy went out on site on the unfortunately, it's not listed, but I believe it was last month to meet with him. He was able to correct the RV living, RV storage, but we still have the general accumulation and the exterior insect, rodent, and animal control nuisance.
So the big pile of...
So prior to...
Yeah.
Wendy being out, I know that she was working with the gentleman trying to find resources and help, but I don't have anything noted as to any movement, and the pile is still there. Yes.
Any recommendations on this?
I recommend continuing this. I don't feel that additional fines are going to move this any further along faster.
That's good, because that's exactly what I was thinking. because I remember this case as well. I also remember Mr. Tooley. He has a lot going on. And I am aware that we have offered him some resources, and that pile of stuff is a huge pile. And I think it was larger than our other case. So I agree that a continuance may be in order on this. I'm going to put that, and we'll just put the continuance for our January 15th. And hopefully he can come in compliance by January 8th.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, will that fine still be waivable by January, if he comes into compliance by January 8th?
Yes, I was actually just about to state that. So I'm giving him a compliance date of January 8th. I'm going to make it for 11 a.m. And the same terms as per my prior judgment would allow for the waivable fine. All right, I'm going to move forward while he's making those copies. So our next case number Z, as in zebra, E2410-015, address being 1117 Iron Springs Road. Property owner being listed as 1117 Iron Springs Road, LLC. For the record, defendant is not present. And I have new people presenting a case. Are you Jacob? Jacob, you did not stand and raise your right hand.
Well, we anticipated George still being here, but George had another appointment.
Okay.
So,
do you affirm, under penalty of perjury, that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right, thank you. Since you're new, you're going to be broken in.
So this case is a zoning violation of the city's sign ordinance. Per city code, signs that move in any manner are not allowed. The feather signs are moving signs, and so they are not allowed in the city of Prescott.
So, Jacob, since you are the one that issued the violation, please tell me which property this is exactly and take it from there.
So this is the old Savoini building on Iron Springs Road. I believe the offender is an ice company that has put an ice machine out in front of the property. We sent notices to the property owner, certified mailings. They did receive one. We received every other certified mailing, returned to sender. They didn't accept the mail. And I believe I have those in the case file here as well. I attempted to call the owner yesterday to let them know that this case hearing would be happening today. I did not get a hold of them and left a voicemail and no response.
Do we still have flapping signs?
Yes, as of this morning, the sign is still out there.
All right, so what I'm concerned about is if the mail has been returned back, there's no signature, undeliverable.
Yes, the most recent certified mailing was returned to sender. It said vacant. But we do have one that was not returned to sender, the initial courtesy letter that was accepted by the owner.
And we have no contact from the owner whatsoever?
Zero. And then I have in the file here, I made a copy of the case with the return receipt showing that they did in fact receive the courtesy letter asking them to remove the sign.
And the date on that?
The date on this was October 29th, 2024.
All right, recommendations from the city.
We recommend a $50 fine and continue to next hearing, January 15th, with the reinspection date of
1/8/25. Okay. Because we only have acknowledgement of the one notice, the courtesy letter. Yes, a continuance is definitely in order. I'm concerned about any argument that they would come back with of not receiving notice. So I'm not going to give them a fine at this time, but I am going to move for a continuance. I suggest very strongly that we find alternate methods of contact to provide them notice.
That's reasonable. Thank you. I probably buried it.
This is why it's always a good idea to make sure I have a copy of that packet here ready to go. We'll get you trained in. All right, I'm going to move forward here. Case number Z, as in zebra, E2410-041, address being 1004 East Gurley Street, property owner being listed as 4B Holdings, LLC.
I believe we closed that one. They complied. The next one that was not in compliance was ZE2410-036.
For B Holdings, that's, is that Scooters?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I know. I saw it. I just got stuck at the stoplight. So I know that one's closed. Just going to keep a whole stack of judgments here. My recommendation for the next ones that have come into compliance, if you will just hand me those judgments right here and now, so as I call each case, then I can get this through faster for the rest of our people that are sitting here waiting for their cases. Next case, Z as in zebra, E2410-021, 1590 Willow Creek Road, Unit A, under Wajek, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Wajek Enterprises. Is that one dismissed?
Yes.
Okay. Then the next case, ZE2410-023, 3147 Willow Creek Road, WI Special Purpose Prescott.
Also complied.
And okay.
Closed.
Next one, ZE2410-027, 3180 Willow Creek Road, Suite A3, property owner being listed as JOCR Properties, LLC.
Also closed.
Oh, I have a gentleman flagging his hand.
My case is dismissed, but can I ask a question about it?
You may come up here, not a problem.
Or are they, do I need to have it in a certain place?
It would have to be on your property.
Okay.
We don't allow off-site advertising signs or any signs in the right-of-way outside of the downtown business district.
Okay.
And that means basically not on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Well, the first picture, it was on the sidewalk, and then the second, I had my staff move it onto the dirt, and then I still got a notice. I just wonder how far back we need to go.
Than likely still
I guess I brought
city
that
right of way.
But so
I would have to see a survey map of the property to determine it, but
yeah. Okay, that's my question. How would I figure out what the setback is? Because I was looking at GIS and it looks like it's pretty narrow, like it looks like it's just
right and
takes up the sidewalk.
GIS mapping is not survey accurate, unfortunately.
Okay.
We do have a survey layer on our mapping, which we may be able to look up to determine where the right-of-way starts and stops on this particular property.
Okay.
If you want to come by our office, we'll get you a map that we have that by work.
Okay. So it is possible as long as I'm out of that right-of-way. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And what was your name for the record?
Ben Wojak. Wojak.
Wojak. So.
Wojak Enterprises.
Okay. Have no idea, but that's okay. If I don't know you, that's a good thing. All right, I'll move forward to the next one. Case number Z, as in zebra, E2410-036, address being 214 North Montezuma Street, property owner being listed as Shipping Yard LLC, and I have a defendant present. Will you please provide your name for the record?
Sean. Sean Reddy. Yep.
All right. So,
A-frame signs.
Jacob, do you think you can handle this, or do you want Mr. West to handle it for you, or you both want to do it together?
Let's let Will.
All right. KCE 2410036, address 214 North Montezuma Street, the Shipping Yard LLC. This is another one where we have feather signs, moving signs not allowed in the city of Prescott. The signs were relocated after sending notice, but they were not completely removed from the property.
So, Mr. Reddy, do you have anything that you want to add or ask? Or?
Yeah, I just want to know, it says right-of-way, so I was assuming that we needed to move them further into the property, but I'm taking it they're prohibited completely?
Correct.
So that's the tall signs?
That would be...
Feather signs. They're not my signs. So I don't really know what they're called.
But yeah.
You're talking about the tall ones,
yeah,
right?
I think there was one for... a barbecue and the one for the coffee shop over there.
Okay.
And then I think they moved them and actually attached them to their trailers or their food trucks, mm-hmm. which would still not be allowed.
Okay. I can have them take them down. It's not a problem.
And I like that response.
I do have another question, though, because I have a couple different notices that I just want to make sure that this one says Shipping Yard LLC Angry Ape, and then I had one that said off-premise signs. I don't have really anything to do with Angry Ape other than they pick up and drop off on our property, but like they're off-premise signs, like they have, I know they had some at like gas stations or something like that,
yes.
But like those aren't, like I'm not that company, and then I don't, that's not my property. I don't.
When we looked up the address for where to send the notices for the Angry Ape on the Yavapai GIS, it shows that the address is the same as the food truck park.
Yeah, that's his pickup address. We allow him to pick up and drop off on our address. And he has like some like pickup signs, like Angry Ape pickup here kind of thing. But like I know he has signs at gas stations, but that's not our. Like, I don't know how to make him take signs down from other places.
And this was one where I'm new at doing the zoning violations, so I was told to send it to the address on the Yavapai GIS, since that is, they're the owner, that's where they're listed to receive mail.
So when we have your name is Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
But your property is listed under Shipping Yard.
Yeah.
So sometimes and even for a person like myself, when I look something up and I see an LLC or anything like that, and that's why I asked you specifically, please identify yourself for the record. So I have a name, so I'm not going to call you Mr. Junkyard. But if it's listed, if there's something listed, where it's, a business is located at this and it comes up on our GIS, that's why it's going to be attached as that. It can be confusing even on our part, but, again, as a DBA, or somebody doing business or doing something on your property, we're going to make sure that you are aware of who the offender is.
Right.
So if it's your property and Angry Ape is doing something that has done something on your property, then that gives you the recourse to tell them, fix it so I don't have to do this again. Does that make sense?
It does, provided that the company is doing something on our property. So if they have off-site signage on a completely different property and it's not my company, I don't know how to make him pull signs from a property that isn't ours. Does that make sense? So we're located at 214 North Montezuma. If he has signage at a gas station down the street that isn't 214 North Montezuma, how do I make him pull signage from that property?
Well, if he has signage on in another property or an adjacent property, then a notice of violation would go out to those properties or property owners.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah.
So now if they're putting something on your property and you ask them to remove it or remedy the problem.
Right. Provided that the sign is in violation.
Correct.
If the sign isn't in violation, then it doesn't need to be removed.
Right.
Okay.
And if it's on another property and you think it might be,
responsibility.
Yeah. Okay. And if you think it might be, you are more than welcome to file a complaint on it, and you can do it anonymously too.
Oh no, I wouldn't. I don't really care. It's just his name is on this paperwork, so I just wanted to make sure that like you guys knew that I'm not Angry Ape.
Yeah, no, we know.
Okay.
And we also know that you're not the Green Ghost Taco Truck or the...
I actually am. That's my...
I'm looking at the pictures, so I don't know. I'm just
yeah,
going...
Yeah, I'm not the barbecue guy, and I'm not the coffee guy. DBA is Green Ghost Taco Shop, and then the Shipping Yard LLC is the...
Property itself.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's a couple different... businesses.
Yeah, and this is actually a very simple fix. I know somebody's been making a lot of money off of these flappy feather signs, but it's actually a very simple fix.
Sure, we can move them. That's not a big issue. I just was looking at right away, so we moved them to the inside of the property till I knew what you guys wanted. So it's not a big deal.
I believe also, not that this is a big deal, in the courtesy letters we send at the bottom, it says to remove the feather signs or signs that show the illusion of movement. I put right-of-way on there because that is where they're located, so it doesn't give us a ton of options for the location in our Central Square database that we use to choose a location.
And I know this is a slightly difficult city code to adhere to, because signage is banner signs, moving signs, flapping, things like that. There's different categories. So, and like a banner sign is something that, as long as it's permitted, it's fine, as long as it's attached where it doesn't flap. And then you have the feather signs that flap and move all the, and then you have those crazy blow up moving things too. So all of those actually go into violation of this particular type of a code. So it's any movement. You can have a banner sign as long as it doesn't move. So if it's
sure.
Tacked in, you
I
know,
get it.
So
yeah.
I know it's difficult, and this is a hard one for me even, because I have to look it up and read the fine print to find out what exactly what our violation is. So on that note, recommendation from the city.
I think that we're seeing voluntary compliance, but what we would like to do is sit down and talk about our sign ordinance with you. Because you're in a high visibility corner, there are a couple other issues that are borderline right now. And I think that talking with you rather than going through this process is a better option.
Sure.
So I would like to recommend no fines for this as long as it's brought into compliance. And I'd like to request maybe a half an hour meeting at our office. Or on your
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
A half an hour meeting at our office or on site with you, your choice.
On site would be easier.
Okay.
Then you can show yeah. me what you guys are actually talking about and I can understand and ask questions.
No, I think that's a great idea. Better communication will make it easier going forward.
I think that's a splendid idea. Do you want me to consider this a dismissal, or are we looking at just maybe doing a quick continuance in order to do a dismissal?
I think we need to do a continuance in order to do a dismissal.
Does that sound good?
Yes. If we work it out, I don't have to come back. I'd prefer not to come back.
That is exactly because I don't want any misinterpretations.
Sure.
So because I really until you guys have a full grasp of how to work this, I don't want to consider it dismissed. Sure. Because we're working on that and because you need to get together on this. So I like to make sure that they're on the same level as I am.
Sure.
Give me a second to write this out. All right, so on this, I'm putting it as a continuance with a review and meet with our community development for abatement procedures. And I'm moving it as a compliance date of January 8th at 2 p.m. Obviously, you guys are going to get this fixed before then, so it'll be dismissed on the next docket. Does that sound
good? Sounds good to me.
All right. I'm going to have you do a quick signature before I have my gentleman make a copy.
Here's my card. If you want to go ahead and either send me an email or give me a call, and we'll set up a time that we can get our planning and zoning team down there to
okay.
go through it with you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
right, Mr. Reddy. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate that. It's always nice when we have a defendant show up, even if it is a dismissal or a continuance.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, moving to the next case, number Z, as in zebra, E2410-042, address being 715 East Gurley Street, and property owner being listed as SN, as in Nancy, AZ, LLC.
Yay!
Hi there. Can you identify yourself for the record, please?
So you don't have to call me SNAZ. I'm Dave Worley. I'm the property manager for Case Huff and Associates, so we represent AZ, SNAZ. We manage the property at 715 Gurley. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say this case was closed as well, as it's been brought into compliance.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. It's kind of weird having another Worley in here.
Yeah, you know, just for the record, this guy, we recognize as a crappy operator. Dave Knapper, who is our lawyer down in Phoenix, we've been, you know, on him about the rent. He started out at Rillaberto's, then it went to a taco shop, and then he went to a chicken waffle. And he does all this without even telling us. So we have him on a tight leash right now. We have in here, I wish we were before this other cases, because this is what a landlord should do. We will terminate his lease if we see any more signs or weeds on that property. And that's it. We're done. He has till December 16th to put in writing to us that he's going to make, you know, keep his weeds clean. And if he decides to do anything with signage, he gets approval from the city of Prescott first.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, I appreciate everything you guys do. Yeah. We just don't. I have zero tolerance for this stuff. I manage properties all over Phoenix, Casa Grande, Tucson, and up here, which is great, you know. But it's hard. Only in Fresco, you guys turn the air on in here. you bring these guys down from Phoenix. I'm like, but anyway, yeah, no, but yeah, I see that they're wearing a coat in here. But anyway, yeah, so. Anyway, I think, you know, I hear this stuff, and I appreciate everything you guys do, and we just don't, he assured me that sign was down, and he misled me, and that's when I involved the attorney. We just have zero tolerance for operators like this, so anyway, he knows it.
Yeah, and I kind of agree that it would have been nice to have you prior to a few of our other cases.
Oh, if you only from that one. Yeah, absolutely. Because when you're the owner, it doesn't matter. You're the owner of the property. You need, you're responsible for the commercial, the lease. Anything you do is your responsibility. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, when this reflects on us, you know, and so we take it seriously.
Well, thank you.
I have to say, when I was trying to explain to a previous case, and I saw you nodding and shaking your head, I was like, oh, this guy knows what I'm talking about.
when I tried to hear this argument, I go, oh, that's weak. Yeah. No,
so, it's, oh, my gosh. I'm actually, I appreciate the fact that you came in again, despite that we are actually abated on this, we are in compliance on this, but I appreciate that you, being the owner of the property, are accepting the responsibility and showing up and not arguing that, hey, it's not my fault, it's my tenant's fault.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just like infuriated. I drove by there on the way over here, and I see he whacked his weeds down. But he's on a tight leash right now. I'm telling you right now. I don't want to see that stuff up again.
It took him a while to get the signs down, but.
Oh, yeah. I told him, you want to sell chicken waffles, clean up your property. I mean, I wouldn't walk in there with those. I mean, those weeds were. But, yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys do. Yeah, I appreciate that. I deal with a lot of the cities, and I appreciate what you guys got to go through all the time. And it's just, it could be frustrating. And then when they come in here and try to defend it, and just like, so I can say that.
Well, you know what? And since you are here, I'm going to get your signature on this one.
Absolutely. There you go.
Thank you.
I just do it for Victor.
Now, I can have you a copy of this right now, or you can send it to whichever way you want. Actually, we'll just give you a copy.
Oh, that'd be great. Then I can just put that in my file, and yeah. But I'm not letting him off the hook. Made me drive all the way up here. No.
I know, right?
No, I brought my wife. We're going to have a nice dinner before I go home. So, yeah, but I'm
here.
Yeah,
but here one time. Yeah.
Yeah, we lived here at one time over on Brillante behind the in Cloudstone, I think it is.
No, Wisconsin and Prescott we lived.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nice area.
Yeah, over there off of Rosser Road, yeah. I might move back up here again. I love Prescott. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why he'd leave to go to the valley.
Well, he.
Mountain lion in our front yard did it.
He owned businesses in the valley at the time.
Yeah.
And I was working with him. We were trying to commute back and forth. He got a little crazy. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He ended up selling the businesses but stayed down there.
Yeah. Probably be moving back up. But hey, thanks again. Appreciate all your help.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in. I mean, more people, landlords, owners who care. That's all we want.
Oh, yeah.
No. Better for everybody if everything looks good.
The owner's actually in California, and they don't always communicate the letters to him.
Yeah. This owner is actually Stevie Nicks. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
I was told.
She's nice looking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I never got free concert tickets from them or anything, but it's a pleasure to keep doing it. But yeah, anyway,
still pretty cool.
I think he said the owner was Stevie Nicks. Is that what I heard?
That's what you heard. Yeah.
Well,
for the record.
Well, no, I appreciate you guys. Thank you. And appreciate it.
The way you handle yourself with all these guys. You're awesome. Not these guys, the other guys. Yeah.
Well, she's handling us pretty well, too. We're training.
You guys have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, too.
And enjoy dinner and whatever, and stay through
that. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to hopefully get down 17 without anybody clogging it up again.
Yeah, it can get nasty.
Yeah, okay, take care.
Okay, moving forward.
I don't know. Did we handle the angry ape one?
We have another one. ZE2410-044214 North Montezuma. This is another one listed as Shipping Yard LLC, but it has angry ape in parentheses. So
we're going to recommend to continue this so that we can make sure we get notification to the proper owner.
That's a good idea.
No, this is one of those where we need to, if we take the sign out of the property, then off out of the right of way, then it's no longer in violation. So we need to make sure that we're citing them.
Okay. So I should send them to the gas station that they're at next time.
And that's a process that we're updating, really specific.
Do I have a judgment for that? I do not.
So you really see more with the shortcomings of the sign process is the business owner and the property owner have the same. So what we talked to legal about is sending a letter to the property owner and the business owner both. We just don't have that in place yet because all of this is still really new. One and two, Central Square doesn't let us change a lot of this stuff. So they'd make notes about how to.
All right, so now I'm going to move to the next one. ZE, Z as in zebra, E, 2410-045-1317 East Gurley Street address, and property owner being listed as Prescottonian Arizona LLC.
As of this morning, they have removed the signs and we've closed the case.
Next one, Z as in zebra, E, 2410-034, address being 230 North Cortez Street, property owner listed as Joe Commercial, LLC.
The signs have also been removed and case has been closed.
And moving on to the next case on that, Z as in zebra, E, 2410-050, address being 809 White Spar Road, and the property owner being listed as Dayburn or DeBurn LLC.
Also closed.
All right, well, then I see that there are no other cases listed on this docket. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, then being that there are no other cases before this court is adjourned.